It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
All right, a little sleepy, but I'm here. It is Tuesday, April 28th, 2026, and I just want to give a, I usually do a salute, but I'll call it a shout-out because I want to shout at them at Public Works. I guess there was a water main break or something last night over on Lake Havasu Avenue and the Quality Inn right there by Xanadu, by the condos and that. And all you could hear... It started about 11:15, 11:30 at night, right?
Jackhammering.
Oh, how late is this going to go? So, anyway, yeah, a salute to those guys for having to be out there that late. I'm sure they didn't want to be out there either. So, anyway, Cal Sheehy is here, our mayor of Lake Havasu City. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And Vice Mayor David Diaz, welcome to you.
Good morning, sir.
This is becoming a habit with you two.
It is. I think this is the last time I see Vice Mayor.
Yeah, I think so. We were here together last time. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Anyway, welcome to Speak Out from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with No Sink. You can find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue here in Lake Havasu City. So, quite the weekend. Did you guys choose to leave town or not?
Oh, no, I was here.
I saw the mayor at the VIP party for the Desert Storm event.
Yeah, it was a great event.
It really was. Were there more people here than there were last year?
You know, I haven't got any official data, but people tell me that they feel like there was more people here.
Yeah, and I walked the street on Thursday when it started, but I saw some pictures in the evening. It was packed, but then the residual on the next few days afterwards, when people in the McCulloch was just jammed.
It'll be interesting to see, because I asked Jim Russell. I said, do you have any geofencing data? And not yet. He said it'll be out this week, so he's going to send that to me when they get it. But last year it was 20,000 for the event on Main Street. What do they call it? Street party.
Street party.
The street party. I'm guessing 25 or 30. There was just wall-to-wall people down there at the Commons.
I heard the parade on the channel was packed also.
Yeah, the channel itself, the body of water was packed.
Correct. Exactly.
Yes.
How do you think as an attraction, as a structure, as a new attraction in Havasu, how do you think the Commons fared for that event, Cal?
You know, the Eye of the Storm is at the Commons.
I love that term, by
yes,
the way.
And the feedback that I received from our residents and the people that went down there loved it. It was a central hub, and speaking to the event organizers, they seemed to have loved it. The bathrooms opened just in time for the event, and just finishing up the little bit of shade structures that are there, and the multi-use concession stand building. And so first week or so of May, the entire project will be done, but it really showcased the downtown in such a great way. Mm-hmm.
So we have a text on the KNTR Talk text line, 928-727-5566. Speaking of main water line breaks, Silver King and Chemehuevi is still a mess from when that one burst, and that was a few months ago.
Yeah, I believe a caller might have called in last time we were here. I'll check with our public works team. I know that they were aware of it and they had things scheduled. Oh, yeah, they had things scheduled to get it done. So, yeah, we'll get some answers on that and find out when that project's going to be done.
Yeah, it's in Marissa June's neighborhood.
Yes, yeah, she just flagged me down. So, yeah, we'll make sure that it gets there. But I did talk to Public Works after we talked about that last time.
That came up at my Rotary meeting, too, that same one.
Really?
Yep.
So I would imagine that neighborhood is, 20, 30 years old then, when those houses were built?
I'm not sure.
You know, everything was built one by one here, so
mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, there could be houses as old as 50 years, as new as last week,
yeah,
you know?
Correct.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Now, back to Desert Storm. The promoters actually work in concert with the city as far as support, correct? They pay a certain amount? I know what that amount is.
Yes.
What did they get for that?
You know, it's actually timely you mentioned that. We have an item on our agenda this evening to talk about reducing those fees for event promoters when they're closing down McCulloch. But what we do is a cost recovery model. So there's a special event permit that anyone wants to do an event anywhere in our community, this one obviously being in the downtown area. And everything goes into account for, you know, do you need police, do you need fire, the cost to close the road from Public Works, the insurance costs, all of those types of things go into it. And then we charge, in the current model, we then charge the event promoter for that. What council will be considering this evening is adopting a new rate structure that is gives certainty to the event organizers, where there'll be a one fixed cost to close down the street from Acoma to Smoke Tree. And then also a reduced cost for police and fire should they need those types of service based on the consumption that they need. I'm pretty confident in that item because council already heard this item mm-hmm. and gave direction to staff to bring this forward. So I'm pretty confident that the council will move forward with that this evening.
So Friday, Saturday, especially for people trying to get out on the island to get to see the poker run and then, the, you know, the shootout in that on Saturday. Would the city ever consider maybe having officers in a traffic detail at Lake Havasu Avenue and McCulloch? Where, I mean, people were sitting through two and three lights there.
I know. It's funny that we say
it's
that.
It's like Mulberry.
Yeah, it's funny we say that in two or three lights is a lot for me. I'm from here, so mm-hmm. that's a long
for
time.
For Vegas, it's not.
Right, exactly. Right. So when you go to some of these bigger areas. But, you know, the great news is that we're moving full speed on the second bridge. And so that will help alleviate some of those concerns when we have large scale events and folks coming on and off of the bridge. You know, if it makes sense, certainly from a public safety standpoint, that's what the special event permit does, is it gets all of the experts in the room. So it gets the promoter, it gets special events teams, it gets our police department, our fire department, public works, and they determine what is the best course of action to produce that event.
Yeah, and I got a couple of texts during that, which you mentioned Paul and Mayor, that said, oh, I guess we do need a second bridge. So it was kind of funny, you know.
Right. I'll get to that shortly. We will talk about the second bridge, and there's kind of a snafu going on there. Of course, if you saw the paper any time in the last couple of days. There is another call, or another text, rather, 928-727-5566 is the number if you want to text in. The elephant in the room, it says, talk medians and what the actual correct final solution is.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm surprised we got three questions in before that question. Yeah, so you know, just by a way of history, the medians are a project of ADOT, Arizona Department of Transportation. There was a funding mechanism through the HSIP funds, or the Highway Safety Improvement Plan funding, that the local MPO was able to create the mechanism for funding. Full disclosure, I sit on the MPO board, as do two of my colleagues from council, as well as a supervisor from Mojave County. That was done in 2019, the funding mechanism for year 2025. But once that funding mechanism was created, it allowed ADOT to apply for the funds from the federal government. They did that. It then is up to ADOT to bid the project, scope it, and engineer it.
Can I stop you right there? Mm-hmm. Were they looking specifically for funding for medians then, or for any type of any option or study? Because we talked about this last week with an analyst. I don't know if you heard the show or not, but he said that he couldn't find anything in there where the MPO actually communicated with. He did about 4 years of research where they communicated with ADOT as far as medians go. There wasn't any real talk of medians. ADOT just kind of came in and did it, is the story that we got from the MPO anyway.
Yeah, so the MPO and the in the tip, that it's in there. It was medians.
Okay.
It was always intended to be medians.
Interesting.
You may recall
K-Rail, do you think?
It could have been K-Rail. I mean, there's lots of options, but the MPO's involvement literally was just for a highway safety improvement plan, a highway safety improvement project.
Right.
But there was a fatality of a family that died from a crossover accident out there, and that's what created the opportunity for that. So, yeah, so, you know, ADOT did the project. I think I've described this in the past on the show and at other meetings. But we had, as soon as it first came out, obviously citizens were rightfully upset. We started calling ADOT and having discussions with ADOT. And we then had a Tri-City Council meeting, and many members of our council were there, as well as Representative Biasucci, Supervisor Borelli. And we really, really talked really hard to ADOT about what the project's going to do, how can we ensure that it's addressed.
Right.
We didn't really get a whole lot of answers, but then at the same time, residents created a Facebook page and started calling ADOT, and that's when change really started to happen. And so they came in and they changed the elevation of the flights where they start. They cut back in two sections the median. They painted them. They put up the reflectors. There's still more work to do. I mean, when you go out there, it's still pretty tight, and ADOT is looking for additional funding to be able to fix that. But yeah, it's really unfortunate that it occurred the way it did, and it was engineered incorrectly.
My whole opinion on the issue is, if you don't like the medians, move over to the right, like you're supposed to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you're supposed to drive on the right.
Yes.
And let people pass or whatever. Use that lane to pass.
We've also, and pay attention
for crying out loud.
Yeah, we've also heard some complaints say, why don't you do what Bullhead City Council does? You know, they took over the medians and they
took over the highway.
People don't realize that. You know, yeah, they voted to get rid of the medians, but before that, they took over the highway. And their 95 is completely different. It's like apples and oranges.
I love your point, because we've talked about that, and I've had people ask me that. Why doesn't Havasu take over the highway? It seems like there's more highway to take over in Bullhead than there is in Havasu, actually. The other problem with the medians is now they realize the safety liability with the speed being 55, and they've lowered it to 45. I mean, I guess that's somewhere in traffic engineering law or whatever. You have to lower the speed limit. Now it makes no sense to go 45 when you're out there by the old bouncy bridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, the highway is a unique aspect in Lake Havasu. There's lots of great things about our community that allows us to have, you know, wide open spaces and great landscapes, but it does then impact us when we have to work in these partnerships with, you know, all of the land holders, whether it be state trust land, BLM land, the Arizona Department of Transportation, Arizona State Parks. I mean, it goes on and on that we have to work with these different partners that they're making calls that impact our residents.
But wouldn't the city be eligible for federal or state funding, like more state funding, if they were to have the responsibility of caring for Highway 95? Wouldn't it pay for itself?
No, we looked at that, and as Vice Mayor Diaz mentioned, Bullhead City is a little different because they have nearly all of their businesses have a driveway off of Highway 95.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We have frontage roads.
Yeah, so
they have driveways.
Their driveways, they have to get a permit from ADOT, and that was holding up the process to get COs for their area, so it made a lot of sense for them. But the HERF exchange, or the Highway User Revenue Fund exchange that we would get for taking over the highway, doesn't even cover the cost of maintaining it. So why should Lake Havasu City residents have to pay more in taxes for a state highway system than residents in other parts of the state have to pay? It doesn't make any sense that way.
Careful what you wish for, then.
Yeah, and, you know, if the project was engineered appropriately, this it would really not even be a conversation. It wouldn't be an issue that people would be upset with, that would be impacting drivers or perception of safety out there. So, I mean, that really is the failure was that it was not engineered properly.
And one thing that I've been talking to citizens about, and I've had this conversation with the mayor also, is that in the vernacular, you know, it's called Highway 95. But it's not a freeway, and people treat it like a freeway.
Some do.
And they're going 20, 30, 40 miles over the speed limit. Mm-hmm. And if we could just slow down a bit, everything's 10 minutes away in Lake Havasu, I think we'd be a lot better.
So. That's my saying. Everything's 10 minutes away. I used to schedule shoots, right, like video shoots, and they would be from Phoenix. Well, how long does it take to get from here to here?
Right.
10 minutes.
Right. Even going through Bullhead. I mean,
that was Bullhead, though.
It's mainly just their main street, but
right.
it's not Highway 95, and the highway would – is what people think it's a freeway.
Right.
So.
Perfect pause point. We can go to break right now, right? So you're a big Chicago fan too, right?
Yes, sir.
I like the old CTA, right?
The old stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Before they changed their name to Chicago, weren't they Chicago Transit Authority?
Yep.
I think that was this band right here. So a little 25 or 6 to 4 on Speak Out, and we're going to break. I'm Paul Lavoie along with Mayor Cal Sheehy, Vice Mayor David Diaz, and give us a call. Kind of missing the phone calls right now. We're outweighed by texts, right? Call in and make this talk radio, not just text radio. You like that?
I like that.
All right.
Where did that come up from?
928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Hey, Marissa June even says it now on Common Ground. She'll say, make this talk radio, not just listen radio. I'm like, little thief. What are you going to do, right? I guess, what is it? Imitation is the sincerest
form of flattery. Yep.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Elvis Presley. I just had a hankering here, or hankering for a little Elvis, and that one's for David Diaz too. There you go. I cleared it through you first.
Thank
right?
you. I'm the music director.
Not yet, but you're getting close. You're getting it producer status for sure. We do have a phone call. I'm going to ask him to hold on for just 1 second when I tell you that Speak Out is brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, and A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And let's go ahead and take that phone call. Caller. Oh, I had him on there. Here we go. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, guys. This is Matt. I created that Facebook page for the Medians. I've also been to ADOT. Made a couple undercover videos and posted them on YouTube. And I have been pretty clear on what the objective should be on this. It's obviously safety, but to hear you guys kind of discount the fact that the median was engineered incorrectly over the line from the start, and your objective is we need to scoot over to the side, we need to slow down, That's not the case. That whole $5 million median was engineered incorrectly. That engineer still has a job. The supervisor still has a job. The lady that treated me horribly at the front desk at ADOT still has a job. And these people also mismanaged money when it came to lighting. They had lighting budget in those medians that they magically had at the end to make corrections, but not enough to make the corrections right. After I called them out on a lighting budget that just magically went into their pocket. So I will listen off air, but I just hate it when people discount the fact that that thing was completely engineered wrong with any sort of we need to scoot over, we need to slow down, because that's not the case. It needs to be fixed.
I'm the one that said people should move over. I have a real problem with people riding, you know, forever, mile after mile after mile in the passing lane. I have a big problem with that. But the other thing is, no, the speed limit, I didn't have a problem with the speed limit whatsoever. So, being 55. Go ahead.
And your name is Mike, correct? This is Vice Mayor Diaz?
It's Matt.
Oh, Matt.
No, it's Matt. Yep.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
I'm great.
I think we're in agreement with that it was engineered improperly, right? Because I think we're in agreement with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that got called out very early on in the project before it ever got completed. There's multiple emails back and forth with ADOT that the engineering is incorrect, and they completely disregarded it. But we are left with what we have now, and the lighting budget that was over $300,000 that got called out that nobody wanted to address was then magically used to make the corrections.
Yeah. No, Matt, you've done so much work on this, and you and I spoke during that area, but it was engineered incorrectly, and it was through your efforts that the corrections that have occurred, although not done, was directly based on your efforts and the efforts of the citizens that got out there. So thank you for doing that. But we're still pushing to get the rest of that done. They just don't have a funding mechanism or money right now to do that.
Yeah, so I guess just hearing like the talk of, oh, we need to scoot over stuff like that, like that just almost gives them an out. Like it's an incorrect thing in this town that does not need to be there. I know it's not a city object, it's an ADOT project, but it just like there should be no solutions for this other than correcting the problem.
I couldn't agree more. No. Well, yeah.
What would you like to see there instead of a median? I think there's something maybe not the median.
I don't think the median is the issue. I think the fact that it was put over the line into the lane of traffic in the engineering plans and it shows is part of the problem. Do I think it's the solution for the problem? No, I think a K-rail or something like that would have made way more sense.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck with it now. They're never going to completely tear it out. So fix it so it's actually functional for people to drive like they need to be able to drive. Don't lower the speed limit. Don't make half attempted corrections with reflectors and stuff. Make it correct to code and then be on with it. And we need to make sure that we stay on top of it because they're just going to kick this down the road and say they don't have funding like they always do.
And we've also had discussions with Representative Biasucci, who was instrumental in getting that funding for us when they repaved and redid Highway 95 from the Sarah Park to the 40. And he is not a happy camper. If they start jackhammering and moving that, you know, he's trying to cut that back, they're going to waste all this money that he took years to get us. So
they put new paving in and then they went over it.
Correct.
I was told by Todd Steinberger, the main engineer on this project that still has a job that messed it up, that the reason that the medians are so far into the lanes is because then the maintenance costs over time is less because there's less roadway to maintain. That was his direct words.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one, but that's not a good answer. Yeah.
Not at all.
So, yeah, I mean, I have chains and chains of emails. I created that Facebook page, thank God, for the community to kind of have a resource to document things. And you have the people every once in a while. They're like, hey, everybody just needs to slow down and, you know, learn how to drive is the common one that I just kick them off the group. But, you know, like, there just needs a solution. So you guys need to stay on top of it if you can with ADOT. I'm keeping pressure. All these other people are keeping pressure. It's really unsafe when it comes to response times for first responders now. They can't get through that area if they have to get back and forth, which was my big component. And we'll see that happen. Eventually it'll happen. Eventually the fire trucks, ambulances won't be able to get somewhere because of that. And that statistic needs to be recorded and reported to ADOT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. No, okay. we're staying on it, Matt, and I appreciate your advocacy as well.
Thanks for the phone call.
You guys have a good one.
All right, thanks,
Matt. We appreciate it. Thank you. All right, good time for a break. Let's do it. How's Graham Funk sound, Mr.
I like
producer?
Graham Funk.
I know you
My
do.
My favorite song of Graham Funk is Some Kind of Wonderful.
Oh, it is.
This is a good one, too. This
I used to have that on 45.
Yes.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah, right. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Mayor Cal Sheehy, Vice Mayor David Diaz. Be like Matt. Call in 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. It's kind of driven over and over and over the medians. And we need to switch topics, I think. What do you think?
We can do that when we get back.
I
want
to say beat a dead horse, but can you beat a dead median?
Beat a dead median.
Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out.
I'm feeling mighty sick. I've been lost now, days uncounted.
Show. I'm feeling good, feeling right.
Oh, man. You had to mention this song, didn't you?
Sorry.
That's all right,
It's one of my favorites.
Mine, too. You just can't help but get into it. Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, by Springburg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Outpost. Oh, man, you should see the challenge coin that John Gertz made from the grand opening.
For Shooter's Outpost?
Oh, it's amazing. I'll show it to you after the show.
It's amazing inside that store. It's completely different.
Is it?
Really nice.
Tell me, but how
it's
different?
It's just wide open. It's complete open space now. I took all the walls out and reinforced everything and put a new floor. It's just really nice. Did a good job. Well, painted the exterior also.
Well, yeah. By Sunday, it'll be the perfect indoor shooting range because Sunday is supposed to be like 97 degrees. Right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 97 both Saturday and Sunday. So.
And then you can't ask Sam anymore if you sold the store. He has to say yes.
Sammy, you sold the store. Good job. All right. Also, solar power by Esme Electric, by Dorita's Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care. Don't forget to shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. And speaking of local, holy cow, we've got the Coast Guard in the news. We've got state parks in the news. We've got the waterfront in the news. It's like a maelstrom, right? Not like a whirlpool or a perfect storm almost.
Yes.
What is going on with? Okay, where should we start with this bridge access road first? All right. Do we start with the Coast Guard because they say they can't do the permitting because of the partial government closure? Then State Park says, well, we can't do anything because the Coast Guard can't do anything. What, Cal, are you in contact with these folks?
Yeah, no, we've been working on it. And in our last council meeting, we had a 60% design review complete. And Public Works gave City Council an update on all the things that are happening. The biggest concern really right now is Coast Guard. They'll make it through. They are having some trouble with the temporary government shutdown on their front, but they're still, you know, last we were able to talk, Coast Guard's not a concern right now. Where the concern is with state parks and the conservation fund about a land exchange. And so that is going to delay the process potentially by 6 months. Hopefully we'll be able to work through it, but Public Works has been all over this prior to this even occurring, but now they're having weekly meetings with the state parks leadership team in Phoenix, and the state parks director Bob Broscheid and his team have committed to me and to the city that they are going to work through this and they will have a solution for us. It just might take a little bit longer than we were originally anticipating, but we're moving full steam ahead. We still expect to have the 100% design plans by August or so. And then from there, it'll go through the regular city permitting process to make sure that we're ready to go and start construction in early 2027.
Yeah, because when you say, like the paper said, 6 to 8 months delay, I think Ron Foggin, that may have come from his office.
Yes.
Isn't it more realistic, maybe 16 to 18 months?
Delay?
Yes.
No. Because we're all of the other pieces are still moving. So it's
everything I know about government says it's going to take a little bit longer. I'm sorry, no offense.
No, but we like I said, we have weekly meetings that are occurring with our staff and the leadership at state parks to really work through this. So I mean, everyone's goal is to get this started as quickly as possible and start working. So we're all on board to do the same thing. So.
Now, what happens to – there's got to be a bid spec here for something, even if it's just grading that property because it's a former golf course. What happens to those bids that have already gone out and they have to delay 6 to 8 months? And that is that something that the city or the developer or both have considered?
I'm sorry. I don't know if you're talking about a former golf course.
Yeah, you have land that's a former golf course, right?
You moved to the waterfront?
It's not smooth. Yes, I'm going to the waterfront.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going to the waterfront because the waterfront is tied in with that second bridge, correct?
No.
No?
Yeah, I mean,
there a move to, I think Nancy Campbell was the one that said no, that they could start after the second bridge was built. Did that go through?
It did not go
through.
That
did not go through.
So, yeah, they're not interconnected at all.
So they can start development anytime, even without a second bridge?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's kind of where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Have you been in contact, or anyone with the city been in contact with the developer to say, hey, where are you at? Because, you know, the bridge, there's a little delay here.
No, I have not been in contact with them, but they do follow our local news, and so they're aware of it. They've had no application in with the city yet, and that's when our communications generally start. It was when an applicant puts an application in with the city.
My apologies for jumping around. The notes were in the same section because they're just everything's tied together.
Yes.
You know, as I see it anyway, and a lot of other people see it, if that development is built out before that bridge is built, I mean, that could be a public safety hazard, couldn't
it?
Yeah,
so the discussion that we had during the zoning request mm-hmm. that we had was that the amount of time, if they were to start that day, that the bridge should open at the same time that the development or pieces of that development are opening. I don't know that everything is going to open on that development on day one. You know, it may be the retail portion, some houses, maybe the resort hotel. I mean, but again, we don't have an application in front of us to know their timeline on that.
And I may add, in their presentation that they gave the council when they were, before we voted, they did have a PowerPoint slide, and one of their slides did mention how important the second bridge was for their project to move forward.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Explain this for the people in Bullhead City and Kingman. I know when I lived outside of Havasu, I never understood the mentality why the second bridge was needed. But those people who live in Havasu understand the reason. Who wants to field that one?
Yeah, I think we both can start. I mean, mm-hmm. so the second bridge has been talked about since the 1970s when Mr. McCulloch was mm-hmm. Just starting to develop this area. There's been many attempts over the years to plan appropriately for this. So councils before us received the right-of-way on the island side through the Arizona State Land Department. And then our council got the state parks on the mainland side. But we have increased traffic and demand out on the island. And so Representative Biasucci was able to work with the delegation at the time, which was Representative Biasucci, mm-hmm. Senator Borelli, who is now Supervisor mm-hmm. Borelli, Representative Cobb, and then Representative Gillette picked up when he came in to get the appropriation directly for an emergency evacuation bridge. And so that's what we're doing now. But, you know, there's lots of things that occur. I don't know if we were talking on the radio or not about this shootout this weekend mm-hmm. as part of Desert Storm and the amount of traffic. I don't recall if we were on the air when we were talking about that, but those types of things. Vice Mayor Diaz, do you have?
Yeah, I remember talking to Leo, and you and you've had this conversation too. When he helped get that, when that group that Mayor just mentioned helped get that funding in the state legislature budget, it was for a safety access bridge. So that's the key word, safety. And I believe there was a RUDAT study done years ago, over 20.
What it's the rural urban.
That's rural urban. Development.
Development.
Action team.
Architect team.
Yeah. Right.
And that study almost back then deemed that there was a second bridge necessary. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like as Mayor said. It's just not just something that just came up this last 5-6 years. It's been in the works for quite a while.
Man, RUDAT. I've heard that one.
Yeah, 2007. I think that.
I think
that
so. Yeah, I was talking to Gary Myers about it, mm-hmm. and I think it was like 2006, 2007. So it's been over 20 years.
Now, since you mentioned Gary's name, we can't call it the second bridge anymore.
I'm sorry, Gary, for listening. It's the Freedom Bridge.
Just thought I'd mention that. So is the city, as far as the waterfront goes, mm-hmm. is there coordination between the city and the developer with that project, or are we going to be hit with surprises from the developer and go, okay, we got to put the city on this project? So.
Yeah, no surprises. The way that the council adopted the zoning was a planned development, so we know what is going to happen there based on that planned development. There was also a development agreement that the council approved that included all of the water and wastewater infrastructure. They'll actually be increasing the pressure zone for the Nautical Estates project that's just right next door. So all of that stuff has already been ironed out and approved by the city council. Again, we don't have an application right now, so until we have an application, we don't have any coordination. That's what's the mechanism that starts the coordination. But certainly, they gave a very thorough presentation during the council hearings that we ultimately approved that project. But as soon as they fill out an application and let us know, then we're ready to coordinate with them and get the project moving.
Okay, makes sense. Let's go ahead and talk about tonight's city council meeting.
Yes.
Finally, right?
Yes.
What are some of the significant items on the agenda?
Yeah, so we have five public hearings this evening. One is we'll be talking and getting an update on the city survey that citizens took recently. It was a statistically projectable survey. We'll be able to go over the outcomes and take questions from members of the council and the community on the outcome. But we appreciate everyone that completed that survey and excited to have that update this evening. And then we have another project on Highway 95. This one hopefully is much more helpful than the medians. But we have one small step this evening that the council will consider to the synchronization of our traffic lights so that when you're moving along Highway 95 that they stay green for you.
You mean before 7 p.m.?
Yes, exactly. And then also the second stage to this is when you are coming off of the highway onto one of the city streets that those lights also remain green. So if you're taking a left off of the highway onto Mesquite, for example, that the light at Lake Havasu Avenue would also be green so you can continue to traverse through the community and not have that stop and go and stop and go. It'll create movability and drivability throughout our community in a much more effective way, and hopefully that will ease some of the tensions of the drivers. But we have two items on the agenda this evening related to that. Again, it's just a small step, so it's not going to solve the problem yet. It'll allow us to get the hardware into the traffic light signal control boxes that then we can program to do that. Also allow for yellow left-hand flashing turn light.
Right.
Turn lights. There's some of them on like Havasu Avenue now. That's an exciting project.
Yeah, and citizens have been asking for this, and we can't get this done quick enough when we get to that finish point.
Can I jump in on that point with the yellow left turn?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, don't sit behind the crosswalk when that goes yellow and it says left turn. Creep out there a third of the way into the intersection. It is your intersection as the first car in line at that point by law. I'm just letting
you know. It's
funny
you mentioned that.
Thank you.
Because the narrative you hear on social media, it's all the snowbirds. I always look at the license plates and it says Arizona.
It's a lot of Arizonans do this. And it's something that I was taught. I took behind the wheel training. I don't know about you, but in high school.
Yeah, yeah. My head football coach.
Yeah, one third of that intersection is yours. Mm-hmm. You wait, and then take your turn. Yeah. You know
that way, more than one car can turn.
Some people just sit there and then they sit through the light. So yeah, that's just one of my pet peeves. But besides the four way stop mentality in this town, that's a whole nother ulcer.
Traffic
school. That's a whole nother ulcer. Let's see.
We also have this evening we'll be considering the purchase of bathrooms for the channel. So we have currently we have porta potties down in the channel on the east bank. This would be more of a permanent bathroom solution for that area. So many walkers every morning and people that enjoy the channel for recreational boating that really would like to have some bathrooms down there. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that discussion this evening. And then we also will talk about the service charges that we talked about earlier for the special events and closing down McCulloch to give certainty to our residents and promoters.
Just out of curiosity, the porta potties along the channel, is that something ADEQ gets involved with or has a concern with at all?
No, because it's a third-party contract, and they're pumped and cleaned and maintained and all of the things, so none of the waste is left in that area.
And the third party has to deal with ADEQ.
Correct. Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else?
No, I think that's everything. We did have the Havasu Residence Academy, the second cohort graduated last week. This is where an opportunity for citizens to get involved in the city and learn about all the inside operations. The next one will be this fall, so if you're interested, please reach out to the city and talk to Jerry Broccomani about applying for the Havasu Residence Academy.
Also, before I get to our next text, which is hilarious, by the way, HIAC, Havasu Youth Advisory Council, will be on with Allie the second half of the show with Jess Knudsen.
Oh, perfect.
Jess, I don't think Jess knows it yet, but he's listening right now. So, Jess, there you go. Yeah. We cut into your time.
Made a schedule for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So the text, 928-727-5566, the KNTR text line. It says, they should start planning for a third bridge now.
Yeah, interesting. The traffic engineers were able to design the second bridge to meet what the land holdings, what the potential land holdings based on the general plan could be.
Wait, so, they weren't kidding?
We will not need a third bridge because we've planned this second bridge to suffice.
We need a third bridge about as much as we need a causeway over to Hapsu Landing, right?
I've heard that, though. People,
really?
Yeah, people do. They would love to have a bridge over to Hapsu Landing.
That's funny. So, Vice Mayor...
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes,
are you,
sir.
Are you having to go to more events or?
No.
Tri-City Council. What, how can I forget?
Yeah.
Tri-City
I wish I
Council
went too.
Yesterday. Yeah. Yes, both of you went.
Yeah. Yes.
What were your takeaways from Tri-City Council? And it was in Bullhead City this mm-hmm. time, right?
Yes, Bullhead City hosted us.
Yeah, they hosted us, and they have a interim mayor because their current mayor had to resign to run. It's interesting, but it was good. We had an update from. Travis Linkenfelter, chairman of the board of supervisors, and Rich Lettman talked about some water issues and so forth. We had the three candidates, four candidates, David Rose, Grace Hecht. We had Mike Granuccio and Catherine Lopez Rajanimi.
Yeah, they
gave a quick speech on everything and got an update from Sue Ann Mello, our county treasurer, and an update from our county assessor, Jeannie Kinch, and then Cal gave his information, and then all the yeah, but it was a good meeting actually. Yeah.
Nice, and that is Karen Dahlman, by the way, is the new mayor.
Yes.
It was really interesting because they had two votes. The council did. They went through one, and they hadn't decided, and then Karen got it on the second vote. But Karen was the second leading vote getter in the last election behind Rod Head.
For council.
They have a really interesting setup there, though. Some council seats are 2 years, some are 4 years. I don't know if you knew that.
I did only because of this process.
Yes.
Right. I did not before that.
Yeah.
So now I was looking at my calendar. I know there's kind of a awkward little pause here, but I've got Carolyn, is it Strecker?
Yes, she's running for LD 30.
She's going to be on the program, but I don't have the date here. I don't remember which date it is.
Yeah, she's the fifth candidate that's running.
I thought it might be tomorrow, but it is not. Mm-hmm. So, well, wait a minute. I think I'm on the wrong month here or the wrong day. Sorry. Oh, she is on tomorrow. Hmm. LD 30 representative Caroline Strecker mm-hmm. is on tomorrow mm-hmm. Live. And then, of course, Nancy Campbell will be in with Marsha Becker. And they're going to talk about the program that from the high school. Yeah. There's a new...
It's like a training program for
workforce development.
Workforce development, right, exactly.
Yeah, she's doing great work on mm-hmm. that front.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anything you guys want to get out that's a pet program or anything
I think I'm good. It's a good update on everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, join us tonight at 5:30 is the council meeting. We'd love to have you.
Right. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break of the hour. I thought you guys were definitely going to fill the end here. I'm going to have 2 minutes to spare, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is rare.
It is.
You didn't filibuster me.
I can, but you were giving me a look, so I was like,
not at all. Yeah. Not at all.
The non-filibuster look.
I don't know if you guys know this, though. The Tri-City Council, the charter was actually signed in this room.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah, it was Mark Nexon, John Salem, and Jack Hakem.
Yes.
All in this room. Right. Yeah, the table went. You remember when it was?
I do.
The table was over there?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was the host of the show.
And back then, there still wasn't a sink?
Correct.
Okay, just checking.
And the refrigerator was over here. Absolutely. No, but that was, John Salem, the Kingman mayor.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's great. I did not know that.
That's how long ago that was. I think you were on the council, weren't you?
No, it was before I was even on council.
Oh,
yeah, that
okay.
they started that.
It was about 2007 or 8,
yes.
if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, memories. Hey, good times, right?
Yes, very good.
Back with more in a moment. I know you love this song. All right, little Three Dog Night.
Oh, yeah.
One of David Diaz's
favorite groups.
Vice Mayor David Diaz and Mayor Cal Shee. Great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It was great.
You're welcome. Absolutely. Back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot when I come back.
Inside, find a corner where I can hide.
All right, back on Speak Out. Again, Legislative District 30 representative candidate Carolyn Strecker on tomorrow at 11. Nancy Campbell and Marsha Becker at 11:30. On Thursday, I've got Mojave County Republican Central Committee Chair Jody Segesser scheduled. And I'm going to be doing an interview on Thursday to play. I've scheduled it, but I can't recall where. It is Elijah Norton. He's GOP candidate for state treasurer. We'll be interviewing him. A lot of candidates. If you are a candidate, you'll want to schedule here on Speak Out. Just call me.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.